Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11. Tower clear.
Roger.
Well, my dear friends all over the world and the cosmos, this is Maarten Horst speaking on ETFIRST Contact Radio. The first live show in the new year, so I wish everybody at BBS Radio a happy new year and all the listeners a happy new year. It's already a week in the new year and I have a very special distinguished guest. His name is Dick Larsen. And Dick Larsen is a counselor with a background in education, business and communication. In addition to being a guest on radio talk shows nationwide, he has co-hosted a radio program and produced and hosted a series of public access television shows that air around the nation. Mr. Larsen served in the U.S. Air Force, was a special education teacher with the Los Angeles School District, then worked as an international corporate business executive for over 20 years. He then became a chemical dependency therapist and is now at the university in Southern California teaching other adults how to do therapy. Creator of the audio tape series Points to Ponder, Larsen is a native of Minnesota, where he obtained a degree of sociology and psychology before duty in the Air Force ultimately brought him to the Los Angeles area in 1971. Lars's familiarity with the spiritual side of life comes from facilitating adult Christian Bible studies, from his study of the world's major religions, as well as the Angelus Wisdom teachings, and participating in meditation groups and teaching meditation for many years. In these difficult times, he is very hopeful about our future and tries to help others see the positive side as well. Larsen entertains and inspires as he shares his strong conviction that we are now in a very special time of world change, an exciting time, one that marks the beginning of a new era of awareness, which will offer tremendous opportunities for personal growth, enlightenment, and willing cooperation among all men and women around the world. And I must say, my friends, that I completely share this vision. And without further ado, Dick, I want to welcome you heartfully to ET First Contact Radio. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Martin. It's such a pleasure to be on your show.
I was looking forward in the last couple of days for this interview because I read your bio and have done some research on you. And, well, my friend, what you have done is amazing. And I must say that the implications and the consequences of our visitors from space is a very important topic. Why they are here and what they are coming to teach us and what the world teacher is coming to teach us. So, of course, ETs are here. Many researchers have proven that to the public. But now the question is, why are they here and what are they coming to teach us? And what is the role of the world teacher in this? So can you specify?
Sure, of course. Thank you, Martin. Well, the first couple things I would like your listeners to know, Martin, before we get too far into this, is first of all, I'd just like to say to your listeners, please don't believe anything I say. And the reason I say that is because that would be blind belief. And I don't recommend blind belief to anybody. So all I ask of your listeners, Martin, is that they just try to keep an open mind. It's difficult because we've been brought up and developed our own belief system and our own thinking system. So I'm going to ask your listeners to just please try to keep an open mind and see if a little 20 or 30% of what I say makes any sense to them. And if it does, I'll be very pleased with that. I'm not here to get anybody to think like I think or to convince anybody of anything. That's not my mission. My mission is to just give out the information I have, which I think is fascinating and very, very important, of course, or I wouldn't be doing this. The second thing I'd like your listeners to know is that the information that I'll be revealing here on your show comes from two primary sources. Number one, the Ageless Wisdom teachings. The Ageless Wisdom is an ancient philosophy. It is not a religion. It's an ancient philosophy, basically, of life that is said to be as old as mankind. The two latest teachers of the Ageless Wisdom are a woman named Alice A. Bailey, who wrote about 20 books in the 1930s and 40s, and Benjamin Krem, who lives in London and has about 15 or 20 books now on Amazon.com available. I'm not here to sell books. But if you're interested in the sources of my information, it's the Ageless Wisdom, Benjamin Krem, and specifically a book written by Benjamin Krem called The Gathering of the Forces of Light, where he talks about UFOs and their mission here on Earth. Actually, it's a spiritual mission here on Earth. And those are the sources that I'll be talking from today, Martin.
Well, wonderful, Dick. I must say I'm familiar with both sources, and the beauty of making this radio show is to enrich people's vision, to enrich their view about life and the ancient teachings. And the ancient teachings are important in this whole story. And to make the story more complete, you will share your ideas and your interests and your vision to the listeners. And that makes the whole story more complete. So all the people that are here speaking on my radio show are making the pieces of the puzzle fit together.
And absolutely.
And your piece is going to fit perfectly into this.
Yes, I've listened to some of your shows, and I've been to your website, and it's fascinating, wonderful, wonderful information. Well, one of the things that we should know is that we have forgotten who we are. That's our spiritual crisis in the world today. We have forgotten who we are. We have forgotten that we're not humans having spiritual experiences. We're spirits having a human experience. And that has affected all aspects of our lives, social, political, financial, business, healthcare, education, every aspect of our lives, it can be spiritual. And so we need to be reawakened to the spiritual aspects of life. And that's one of the things that the space people are here to do. You'll notice I will never call them aliens. I think aliens is a very subversive, nasty name made up by mostly the Western governments to discredit the space people, the men and the wonderful men and women who are visiting us in their spacecraft to help. They're here on a mission of mercy, and they're space people. They're not aliens.
Because alien means stranger.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, they're not strangers. They are, I believe, also our far ancestors from a long time ago.
I think that's true too. Humanity is throughout cosmos. That's all cosmos is life. And so humanity is everywhere. People, our science is limited here on planet Earth, and it limits our ability to grasp what's happening with the space people and their spacecraft. Our science, Martin, is only aware of three levels of physical matter, and that's solid, liquid, and gas. Now, gas, you can't see, you can't touch, but we know it's there. We know it's real. We know it's physical. Because we can create a vacuum where there isn't even gas. And the only way you could do that is if gas is physical. So we know the gases are physical too. What we don't know is that there's a level of physical matter even higher than gas. It has a finer vibration than gas, and it's a higher level of existence, physical existence than gas, and that's called etheric physical. Etheric physical. Now, the scientists have discovered it. They've just begun to discover it. They're not quite sure what they have. They call it dark matter. But dark matter is nothing more than etheric physical. See, planet Earth is just the right distance from the sun that we can exist in solid physical bodies without freezing or frying to death, you know, from the heat. But the other planets aren't. If you tried to put a physical body on the other planets, it would either freeze to death or boil from the heat. So this is the only planet in our solar system where we can have solid physical bodies. The other planets all have life, human life. They all have human life. That's my information. But that life is in etheric physical form. So we don't have etheric vision, most of us, so we can't see them. Because they're etheric physical, just like a gas, but they're there. They have etheric vision. They see each other's bodies just like we see each other's bodies. They see their buildings. They see their transportation. They see everything out of etheric physical, but we don't see a thing. That's why when we land a camera on Mars and it looks around, it doesn't have etheric vision. It doesn't see anything. Martin, my information is there are 8 billion people on Mars. Mars is teeming with life, but we can't see them. Now, Mars is smaller than planet Earth, so guess what? There's more people there than there are on planet Earth, so they're smaller. Martians are smaller than humans on planet Earth. It just makes sense. But because they're made out of etheric physical, we can't see them. So are their spacecraft. Their spacecraft are made out of etheric physical. They're up there in the thousands all the time. We just can't see them unless you're one of the few people on the planet who actually has etheric vision. Then you see auras. Auras are the beginning of etheric vision. And so the spacecraft are up there, and the only way we can see them is when they want us to. Because what they do when they want us to see them, they lower the vibration of their craft until they temporarily become solid physical, and then we can see them. And then when they want to disappear, they can either just fly off at amazing speed, or they can just raise their vibration of their craft and poof, they disappear and become etheric again. And they can do the same thing with their physical bodies. So that's why we don't understand how there could be life on every planet in our solar system. But my information is that our space visitors are all from the two nearest planets. Most of them are from the two nearest planets, Mars and Venus, and they're all from our solar system. Nobody here from the Pleiades. There's nobody here from Sirius. They've got their own problems to deal with. These, all our space visitors are from our solar system. That's my information.
Wow, that's very fascinating. But you know, Dick, that the Greek philosopher Plato already spoke about the etheric realm, the etheric, because he spoke about the four states of reality, physical, solid, fluid, gas, and etheric.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Well, he was a very, very advanced human being. He was one of the leaders of our civilization, so he knew these things.
Mm-hmm. And he also related those four states of being into sacred geometry. For example, the physical is connected to the tetrahedron, four-sided object with four isosceles triangles. And then the second, which is the cube or the hexahedron connected to Earth. Then the octahedron, which has eight isosceles triangles. And then the icosahedron, which has 20 sides. And last but not least, the pentagon dodecahedron, which has 12 regular five-angled shapes. And they are connected to the ether. The dodecahedron is connected to ether.
Very interesting. Yes, so this is not new. It's just new to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because people haven't been talking about this. People aren't aware of this. So they don't realize there's life on every planet. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it isn't there. Because it is.
It is.
And there's energy that's being guided to all of our planets in the solar system. Well, throughout cosmos, of course. But we're concerned about planet Earth. So there are energies, yes, cosmic energies being guided to planet Earth all the time by these great spiritual masters called the Masters of Wisdom, or the Custodians of the Ageless Wisdom, the Spiritual Hierarchy, the Kingdom of Souls. They have all kinds of names. The Heavenly Kingdom, you know, they go by all kinds of names. But they're perfected human beings who have gone through life ahead of us and graduated to the spiritual kingdom. And they are helping to guide these energies to help the growth of consciousness on planet Earth.
And many people, like Benjamin Crane, have been in contact with those realms. So how did they get their information? And also Bailey, and how did you get your information?
Well, I got my information from Benjamin Crane. I know Benjamin Crane. I have I've been with him many, many times. I've interviewed him on television in America. I know Benjamin Crane very well. And he has spent a lot of time with our space brothers and sisters, with the space people. And that time, because they're in etheric physical, if he's going to travel on their spaceships, just like George Adamski did, just like Desmond Leslie did, and others that have written tremendous documentation about all of this. You travel out of the physical body. So you have to be evolved to a point where you can bring your consciousness out of the physical body, put your consciousness in the spacecraft, and then you travel with them. All of their travel was done out of the physical body. And then when they return, their consciousness is back in their physical body, and they are able to remember the trip and everything. So, yeah, these men have done all kinds of things like that with the space people. The space people are not here to hurt us at all. They're here to help us. They're friendly, they love us, and they are advanced far beyond us.
Mm-hmm.
They don't take people up there to study because there's nothing to study. They know all about us. they've been through our evolution on their own planet, you know?
Yes. And I believe they are helping us in our ascension process, how I call it in the New Age circles. It's spoken about the ascension process there, where our society and the whole planet will go from a physical, dense state of being to an etheric state of being.
Yes, but on planet Earth, that's a long time in the future, is my information. Each human being has thousands of lifetimes before we evolve into the spiritual world, into the spiritual universe, and don't need a body anymore to learn the lessons of planet Earth. Well, planets are the same way. My information is that each planet, the Ageless Wisdom calls it rounds. Each planet has seven rounds of life. Each round is millions of years. And when a planet completes its seventh round, then it disappears. It becomes an etheric planet, just like you said, Martin. Not only the people on it, but the planet itself becomes etheric, and it disappears. There's one such perfected planet in our solar system right now that we know of, and that's the planet Vulcan. That is a perfected planet. It doesn't have a physical body anymore, except in the etheric. Venus is in the seventh round. Venus is almost a perfected planet. Benjamin Krem said that if you were to talk to somebody from Venus, they are so perfect and so loving, you would think you were talking to a god. That's how advanced the Venusians are. And now Earth is in the middle of the fourth round. So here's what happens. In the middle of the fourth round, we're just past the middle of our evolution now, the halfway point. And when that happens, Martin, the society, the people in that civilization on that planet start to wake up. And that's what's happening on planet Earth now. We're waking up. We're growing into our conscious awareness that there's more to life than just this physical body and our emotion and our thinking brain. There's more to life than that, and we're starting to wake up. So now the masters and the spiritual kingdom can really start to work with us human beings on planet Earth for our evolution. And that's one of the reasons that the space people are here, is to help us evolve. Now they aren't going to be the main participants in that, because that job is left up to our spiritual hierarchy, the masters who have gone ahead of us. We know those people as Confucius, Buddha, Muhammad, Krishna, Jesus, Joan of Arc, John, Paul, Ringo. No, not Ringo. I'm just kidding. But St. John, certainly, and St. Paul. And people like that have gone through human evolution and become permanent spirits. There are 63 such spiritual masters who have hung around planet Earth to help the rest of us continue in our evolution.
That is so fascinating. And I'm speaking about the Venusians, Venus has always had my interest. George Adamski spoke about the Venusians. I have read some books from George Adamski. Are the Venusians going to play a major role in First Contact? And how is First Contact going to happen? Because there must be a predecessor, which is Disclosure. Now, is the World Teacher going to bring us Disclosure, and will First Contact follow upon Disclosure?
My understanding is that that's exactly what's going to happen. That the leader of that spiritual hierarchy, the spiritual kingdom, whose personal name is Maitreya. Maitreya means the happy one, the one who brings joy. He is the leader. He's the most advanced. He and the Buddha are brothers, and they are the most advanced of the spiritual kingdom around planet Earth right now. And he is coming for the very first time himself in a physical body to planet Earth to help us get things back on track. He is coming in a physical body. He's actually made the body. He made it himself. It's indestructible. He can appear in 100 places at once. He can appear and disappear at will. He can't be harmed. And yet you can shake his hand, and he can still embody the love of God in that body. So it's a pretty amazing physical body. He doesn't need to sleep or eat, although he may eat just to be sociable. He's here on the planet now. His home base of operations is in one of the Asian communities outside of London, England. And he appears to people from time to time around the planet in different guises. He can appear as an older man or woman, as a homeless person, as a child. He can appear as a young person. And he does that to teach people things, to teach people little lessons, and to help people wake up and to know that the masters are coming, because he doesn't come alone. Now, he will come forward on what he calls his Day of Declaration. He's been appearing on television now, Martin, around the world, as an ordinary man. He doesn't say who he is right now because he wants us to recognize that he is special of our own free will. Our free will is sacred, Martin, and the masters would never infringe our free will because that's how we learn and grow. We learn and grow by making choices. We can learn from a wise choice. We can learn from a poor choice. The goal isn't to make the right choice every time. The goal is to learn from every choice. And that's sometimes where we mess up. So he's not going to come and say, I'm the teacher for the age of Aquarius. I am here to help you listen to me, and I will help you guide you out of this mess. He's not going to do that. We need to recognize him. So he's been interviewing in the United States. He's interviewed in Mexico. He's interviewed on Brazilian network TV. He's interviewed in Russia on TV. And now he's interviewing in China on TV. And pretty soon what's going to happen, Martin, is the media and the people are going to say, wait a minute, you know way too much. Who are you really? Who are you really? And when we demand to know who he is, then he can say that he's the teacher for this age, for this time, and he's here to help us without infringing our free will. Once he does that, he will have his day of declaration on television. Everybody around the world will see him on TV. They'll hear him on radio. And even if they're not near a television or a radio, they will hear his voice in their head telepathically if they're over the age of 14. And so when that happens, he will appear on TV. And I'll tell your listeners three ways you'll know it's him, because this is going to happen within the next couple of years. That's my information, Martin. They will see his face on TV, number one. They'll see his face on TV, but his lips won't move. They'll hear his words in their head in whatever their native language is. So if you're Dutch, you'll hear it in Dutch. If you're English, you'll hear it in English. If you're American, you'll hear it in American. If you're French, you'll hear it in French. You'll hear his words in your head telepathically. That's the first way you'll know it's him. The second way you'll know it's the world teacher. He prefers to be called the teacher. Benjamin Krem calls him the world teacher. The second way you'll know it's the world teacher is that while he's speaking for 35 or 45 minutes, nobody knows exactly when or how long, we will feel the love of God in our hearts like we have never felt it before. Many people will be crying, and I'll probably be one of them. He said, it will feel as if I physically am embracing you. That's how strongly we'll feel the love of God. Trust the love of God. If you're afraid of the Antichrist, trust the love of God in your heart, because the Antichrist can't do that. The third way you'll know it's him is that when he's done speaking, he will tell us about the history of the world. He'll give us a glimpse of where we've gone wrong. He'll give us a glimpse of the glorious, brilliant future we have ahead of us to inspire us, you know. And then he will inspire us and guide us and make some suggestions which we can either follow or not follow. And after he's done speaking, there will be reports, hundreds of thousands of reports from around the world that hundreds of thousands of people were healed during the time he was speaking. They were miraculously healed. And in those three ways, you'll know it's the world teacher. Then what he'll do, Martin, is what you said. First, he'll introduce some of the other teachers. For example, you will see the Master Jesus is back as well. He's in a physical body living outside of Rome. A few of the cardinals around the Pope know he's here. They've been asked to not say anything just yet. But Jesus is back. And his job is to get the Christian church back online. So there won't be any more popes, Martin. Jesus will take his rightful place. This is the last pope. Jesus will take his rightful place in St. Peter's throne at the head of the Catholic Church worldwide, the Christian Church worldwide. He will introduce Jesus on TV at some point. He will introduce a couple of the other masters on TV. There are 14 in the world right now. There will be 40 before the next 2,000 years are over. And then he will introduce the space people. And he will say, these are my brothers and sisters. These are your brothers and sisters. These are my friends from Venus. These are my friends from Mars. These are my friends from Jupiter. These are my friends from Saturn, and so on. And that's how the space people will be formally introduced to us. They're not going to land on the White House lawn in the United States and introduce themselves to the President of the United States or the President of any other country. That's not how it's going to happen. They're not here to steal the master's thunder. This is not their planet. They're simply here at the request of our spiritual hierarchy to help guide us and advise us in the background. They'll always work in the background more than in the foreground because it's not their planet and it's not their job. So they're here to help us, and they are helping us in four primary ways right now, which I'll be happy to talk about. That's their fourfold mission right now. But yes, Martin, that's exactly how they'll be introduced to us. Now, some people see them and have had experiences, of course, already. You know, they've given up on trying to convince the governments that they're here because it didn't work. For 60 years, the governments have been trying to hide their existence. And so they've finally just decided to approach humanity directly. So now they're approaching the everyday person in the farm and on the street because they've just given up on trying to have it done through the governments. The Western governments have been hiding them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is going to be a very strange but interesting question.
Sure.
Do the Western governments and the mainstream media, are they related to the Antichrist or Antichrist energies?
No. My information is no. My information is there are some people who are letting the dark forces work through them, but it's not, they're not necessary. There are parts of the media that the dark forces are working through. There are parts of governmental and other groups, military groups especially, in certain places around the world that the dark forces are working through. One of them is the Pentagon in the United States, I'm sad to say. And their time has come and gone, though. You know, the Antichrist has come and gone for our time. St. John's Book of Revelation is one of the most difficult books to read. And as you said, I used to teach Bible study. My understanding of the Book of Revelation is that there are really three events that are described there by St. John. The first event was the Antichrist from 2,000 years ago in Jesus' time. Jesus was the teacher for the age of Pisces. That's why he used all those analogies of fishermen and fish. That's no accident. There's two symbols for Christianity, the cross and the fish. Why? Because he was the teacher for the age of Pisces. Well, Saint John in the book of Revelation talks about the beast 666. Well, the beast 666, everything was numerology back then. Numerology was very, very big. And every letter in the Greek alphabet represented a number. And if you have a good study Bible, there'll be a footnote by the beast 666. And the footnote will say, 666 are the total numbers in the name Caesar Nero. Nero was the Antichrist expression 2,000 years ago. He single-handedly destroyed Rome. That old saying, Nero fiddled while Rome burned. You know, it's true. Nero destroyed the Roman Empire. The Antichrist energy is released to destroy the old and pave the way for the new. And it did. Nero was incredibly evil, persecuted the Christians, something fierce. He destroyed the Roman Empire and paved the way for Christendom. Then 2,000 years later, the Antichrist energy was released again. And if everybody thinks about it, they'll know who it was. It was Hitler. Hitler was the Antichrist for our time. And it was released through Hitler, through Mussolini, and through a few Japanese generals. And that was the three-point release of the Antichrist for our time. Hitler fooled the world for two decades, at least, into thinking he was going to create this perfect world, this perfect society. He was incredibly evil. He killed millions and millions of people and was ultimately defeated by the Allied powers. And that was the defeat of the Antichrist for our time. Now, my information is the Antichrist will be released once more in about 3,000 years, but that battle will be fought on the mental levels, not on the physical levels like the last one was, World War I and World War II. That battle will be fought on the mental levels, and then the Antichrist energy will be defeated and put down for the very last time. It will serve no more purposes. But it was released through Hitler to destroy the commercialism that had sprung up and pave the way for the teacher of our time, Maitreya, who's the teacher for Aquarius. And for the next 2,000 years, he'll be walking among us and helping us and guiding us and making suggestions, and we can either follow them or not. So the Antichrist for our time, the good news is he has come and gone. Are there dark forces working? Yes. But Martin, they're hanging on for their last gasp because they know this is it. This is the end for them. And you can see this in the old Piscean personalities, you know, the George Bush personalities that start wars all the time and things like that. You know, we Americans, we can't stand those people. That's not who we are. But you can see those old Piscean types, and the dark forces love to work through them to keep things like they were, to keep commercialism and money as the center of the universe, and to keep the desire for power, you know?
Because the thing is that what the mainstream media is doing, and some elements, for example, last Tuesday, I was reading Sheldon Idle's update, which is very positive and uplifting. If you know his information, and the spiritual hierarchy was speaking that the moment of truth, they say it in other words that the Maitreya will be coming, but they will say the moment of truth disclosure will happen very soon. And yes. I had the feeling, well, yes, it's imminent. I felt it was very imminent. Then the next day, yesterday, they do this attack in Paris. And all over the world, people are disappointed, people are in fear, people are in tears. You see, every time we are almost there, they do such an attack. Almost every time.
What was the attack, Martin?
Well, yesterday in Paris, people were shot. Cartoonists who were writing cartoons for newspapers. And they said it were the Muslims that... did this rage, but they were not the Muslims. I'm sure they were agents. It was an inside job. The thing is, there were 11 cartoonists killed in Paris, in the heart of Paris.
I see.
And this was all over the mainstream media, and it's still today. And by bringing fear, I believe some elements in the dark forces are trying to prevent our awakening.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it, Martin. Like I said, they're fighting for their life because they know this is their last chance. This is it. And so absolutely, they're doing desperate, desperate things. Now, we have brought some of this onto ourselves karmically. You know, we can't stop starvation. We can't stop pollution and we can't stop wars. You know, those are the three problems on planet Earth right now. And so we're karmically making this huge mess that's coming back on us, and it's making it easier for the dark forces in some situations. And that's why we need help, and that's why the spiritual kingdom is coming. That's why the brothers and sisters, space brothers and sisters, are here, is because we need help, and we are getting it. Their time is going to be short-lived, Martin, but they're making a desperate last-ditch effort. Absolutely. That's absolutely true. Now, karmically, this is our mess, and we have to clean it up. The space people can't clean it up for us. They are doing one of the things they're doing for us that nobody knows about, very few people know about, Martin. They have huge, huge ships which have been in the air, in the ground, because they're etheric, and in the water, the oceans, for decades now, that are doing nothing but mopping up our pollution. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that's all they do. They're making a tremendous sacrifice, these space people. That's all they do. They mop up these people, these particular ships and these particular people. They're mopping up as much pollution as they're allowed to. They can't mop it all up because it's not their mess. So they have karmic limitations on how much they can clean up. But they're cleaning up as much as they can every single day. Instead of being home with their families on Venus or on Mars or on Jupiter, they're out there mopping up our pollution day after day after day after day. We owe them a huge karmic debt, and we don't even know it. What they're doing, Martin, is they're keeping our planet alive until we wake up. Without the space people's help, our planet would be dying and dead. And of course, that would set back the evolution of the entire solar system. You know, the solar system is a united entity. Everything is one body. The solar system is a body. And there are representatives from the spiritual hierarchy of every planet that meet every 250 years. And they decide how they're going to help God fulfill the plan for our solar system. They know the plan. Every planet has a plan, and the solar system has a plan. Well, just like in the human body, when we get a sore or we get hurt, and the rest of the body rushes in to help rescue it, That's what's happening on planet Earth. Because we can't stop pollution, because we can't stop wars, because we have people dying of starvation every 9 seconds, because that it continues on planet Earth is holding back the evolution of the solar system.
Mm-hmm.
And so our neighbors are rushing in to help.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they're doing is mopping up pollution until we wake up and finish the job. They're keeping the planet alive.
Yes, when one is harmed, all are harmed. So we
yes.
are all connected. The thing is that we are all connected. All life
exactly.
is connected, all universe. So I believe, and I heard from a special person I met in England when I was visiting the crop circles, he said that our planet is being watched from realms of space, from far and close, to see our evolution, to see how we are dealing, and to help us, of course. The battle for planet Earth, and not only it's a spiritual battle, but the awakening of humanity and planet Earth is so important for our neighboring planets and from far further away as well. It's so important for them and for the whole spiritual hierarchy, all the angels and archangels, because some archangels are also from other planets and they are here to help and to see us grow and to see us evolve is so important for them.
Yes, it is. We affect everything around us, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And planet Earth is holding back the evolution of the solar system, which means the solar system isn't evolving like it should, which affects our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy that we're in, and the plan for the galaxy. So we're holding back you're absolutely right. We're holding back a great deal of evolution. So yes, there are many eyes upon us and they've rushed in to help us. One is with pollution. That's one of the things they're doing. The main pollution they're mopping up, Martin, is nuclear pollution. I'll tell you why. Once again, because our science doesn't know about etheric physical. Etheric physical pollution is spewing out of all of the nuclear plants around the world and we don't even know it. They're gushing nuclear pollution into the atmosphere, into the water, into the ground, and it's polluting everything. It's having a tremendously negative effect on the life on planet Earth, this pollution. All these plants need to be shut down immediately because we don't know about the etheric pollution. It's causing, my information is, etheric pollution from the nuclear plants is causing two primary problems right now. Actually, more than two. One, higher and higher incidence of Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is happening more and more and earlier in the life stage of people than ever before. Number two, a hugely increased percentage of autistic children are being born. It used to be one in every 800, and now it's one in every 18 or something like that. One in every 80, I think. And it used to be one in 8,000, now it's one in every 80. Autistic children are born. We are getting cancers and influenzas and other diseases that we wouldn't get if our immunity system wasn't being pounded down by the radiation leaking out of, the etheric radiation leaking out of all of these nuclear plants. It's killing humanity and it's killing our planet. So that's the biggest pollution that they're trying to mop up right now. And that, of course, they can only mop up part of it because it's not their mess. So they're doing that for us. The crop circles, may I talk about the crop circles for a minute, Martin?
Yeah, before you go
okay.
into that,
yeah.
I just want to say that what I understood, this is very interesting information related to what you were saying, is that when the nukes went off above Nagasaki and Hiroshima in Japan,
yes,
it not only destroyed the physical surroundings and the people, it also etherically destroyed them. So a nuclear explosion also destroys the soul of a being. That's what I understood, because the etheric pollution is far more damaging to life than the physical.
Yes, it is, but it's still physical. Etheric is still physical.
Mm-hmm.
It, my information is it didn't damage the soul,
okay.
but it damaged future physical, emotional, and etheric, physical, liquid, and gas, and etheric life in those areas were horribly affected by that. You're absolutely right. We were developing the nuclear bomb. The Western world was developing the nuclear bomb, and Germany was developing the nuclear bomb. And it was given to the Western world to stop the war because the masters thought it would never be used. The masters thought that once the Japan and the Germans and the Italians found out that we had the bomb, they would quit. They would say, okay, we surrender. But they didn't. And we had to use it. It wasn't intended to be used, but we ended up having to use it. So it was a very sad thing, but it did stop the Antichrist.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Of course, yes. So let's go now into crop circles. I'm very curious.
Yes. Crop circles. By the way, whenever I disagree with you, Martin, I do it very respectfully. And you know, I just, who knows who has the right information? You know, it's just such a fun exchange of information that I really love doing this. And the crop circles, my information about the crop circles, they have a couple purposes. Number one, the space people don't want to scare us. They don't want to frighten us. But they want us to know they're here. So one thing, remember I said they will lower their vibration of their craft and become observable whenever they want to. They try only to appear to people that they know they won't scare, that they know won't be afraid of them, number one. Number two, they're making the crop circles as a calling card. It's a very beautiful scientific way of letting us know that they're here. That they're here, they're real, they make the crop circles. My information is the spacecraft, their machinery is so sophisticated, it responds to human thought. They don't fly their craft by pushing buttons and pulling levers. They simply think where they want to go and how fast they want to go there, and the aircraft responds and goes. The spacecraft responds and goes. That's how they fly their craft, by thought. Well, they make the crop circles the exact same way. They think of the crop circle they want to make. They hover the craft over the field, and in about 8 seconds, the crop circle is made. Now, some of these are 2 or 3 football fields long. They're hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of meters long, and they're made in like 8 seconds. That's how quickly they're made, and then poof, they're gone, and the crop circle is there. So it's a beautiful calling card to let us know they're there, and number two, they are using the crop circles to mark grids of energy from planet Earth. Planet Earth has a magnetic grid, and wherever the energies cross each other, there's a vortex of energy there. That's part of the vortex of the grid. And so what they're doing is they're marking these very important energy points around our planet. And eventually, those energy points will be used in combination with the energy from the sun to provide endless, free of charge, pollution-free energy for every need on planet Earth forever, basically. So the crop circles are marking the energetic grid, the magnetic grid of planet Earth, which will be used in combination with the sun's energy to provide pollution-free, endless energy for every need on our planet. Now, The space people are going to give us a science called the technology of light, or the science of light. And that's when we'll be able to create this endless energy. But they can't give it to us yet, Martin. My information is the space people can't give us the technology of light yet because we haven't ended war. We will find a way to make a weapon out of it. And so they can't give it to us yet. Once we end war, they'll be able to give us the technology of light. So there will be interim technologies that will be pollution-free, mainly using water, isotopes of water that will be used to create pollution-free energy. And that will be the primary interim. That and electricity from the sun will be the two primary temporary standbys until we're able to be given the technology of light. So that's the purpose of the crop circles. They're here to let us know that, as a calling card, that the space people are here, that they're friendly, they don't want to hurt us, they love us, they're trying to help us, they're here on a mission of mercy, and number two, to mark the magnetic grid of planet Earth. Isn't that interesting?
It is so fascinating, and in 5 years in a row, I've been visiting the crop circles in England.
Oh, good for you.
Oh, my friend. If you were ever would have the opportunity to travel to England, I will show you around because I'm there every summer for about a month. And I do my radio show there locally. So
I love it.
Brought all my equipment there.
Good for you.
Oh, yes. I love to do that. You know, a traveling reporter.
Do you feel the energy in the circles, Martin?
My friend, I must tell you, Dick, that when you are in a crop circle, every time it's completely different. Every experience is different in a crop circle. Every crop circle has its own energetic signature.
Yes.
And some are giving you the chills. Others are uplifting you. Others are making you cry. People's equipment are being shut down. Cameras don't work or cameras start to turn off and on. Very strange phenomena happening because the energy is very charged in crop circles. Also,
yes.
In many different ways.
They charge the magnetic grid when they do it.
Yes.
So part of that energy is coming from the planet Earth's magnetic grid, and part of it is from the energy they used, which is all healing. None of it's harmful.
No, it's all healing, and sometimes
yes.
very fast. I have seen people crying walking out of a crop circle because it was a lady, and her rheuma was healed from her hand. She didn't feel she felt the pain for 15 years in a row.
Oh my!
She was 3 hours laying down in that crop circle, and when she walked out, she was standing looking at her hand. She said, "What's happening? What's happening? I have felt this pain for 15 years, and now it's gone." You see?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, that's how much they love us.
Oh, yes. Dick, we have about 4 minutes left in the show, and I want to ask you to speak out your wish for humanity and your wish for the world teacher and your wish for our space friends who will be with us soon and to have a closing comment to wish us all the best and in your way, in your personal way, with your heart.
Thank you. The purpose of our life on this planet, according to the Ageless Wisdom, is to evolve in conscious awareness. Conscious awareness includes the spiritual aspect of life. And we human beings are the midway between. We are both physical and spiritual. Every kingdom feeds the kingdom above it. The mineral kingdom feeds the plant kingdom. The plant kingdom feeds the animal kingdom. We owe our physical bodies to the animal kingdom. The animal kingdom feeds the human kingdom, and the human kingdom feeds the spiritual kingdom. That's our destiny, to become spiritual. And our job, while we're humans, is to spiritualize this planet. The only way the planet evolves is if we evolve. We are here to evolve the planet and to evolve all the kingdoms below us into the spiritual kingdom. And we can only do that by caring for one another. The next step forward for humanity, Martin, is right relationship. In the Bible, it's called righteousness. That's all it means. Right relationship. Caring for each other. A family of four that only has enough food for three doesn't decide which one is going to starve. It finds a way to feed all four. That's what we need to do on this planet. We need to live according to our needs rather than according to our wants. We need to share the excess that we have with people who need it. Maitreya is going to talk about that. Sharing is going to save the world because it will establish trust. And when there's trust, there's no violence. There's no need for war. And that's what our future is. Our future is brilliant. It is such a great time to be alive because we are being counted on to respond to the world teacher when he comes forward and to change the world, to fix the world, to correct the world, to get it back on the proper path of spiritual evolution, to love each other, to care for each other. That's why we're here. And he is going to ask us to do that. We are being entrusted. It is no accident that your listeners are listening to this show right now, Martin, because they are here to change the planet. Only the people are here for that job are sent here now. The only people on the planet right now are the people that have been sent here to do that. That's our task, to share and to care for one another. And we can start that at home. We can start it in our local government, and then in our regional government, our national government, and the nations around the world. There'll be no world government. Every nation needs to be, every nation has its own personality. We just need to cooperate. It's going from a world of competition to a world of cooperation, from a world of you or me to a world of you and me. That's where we're going.
Beautiful. And I believe and share your vision. And I know that all the listeners who are listening from many countries, Dick, are sharing your humble and beautiful vision for humanity. By the way, I will tell Jason that I have space on a Sunday or Monday to do an in-depth two-hour interview. I also have a show on another radio station where we can do a two-hour show and speak a bit longer if you wish to. We can
Oh, I would love that. I would love that. I'll tell you where the spacecraft are made, who makes them, and why. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. This is a great time to be alive. We are so blessed to be here right now. And all we can do is our very best. We don't have to be perfect. We just do our best. Try and care about each other, you know?
Indeed. I fully, heartfully agree with you, my friend. And I feel the love of your voice and your spirit that has uplifted many people around the world. For now, I want to thank you, Mr. Larsen, for being here. To my friends listening from all over the world, I will be back next week with a show on BBS. And this coming Monday and Sunday, I will be there at 2200 hours CET on Finding Voices Radio. For now, I'm signing off and wishing you love and light and a wonderful evening.